1 Samuel 18. Before we get started, I want to make a couple of statements, true statements. Somebody put that on speaker. I want to talk to them. First Samuel 18, that's going to be where we're going to be at. I want to make a couple of announcements, not announcements, but statements. Jesus died for you. Amen. Amen. Jesus died for you. And you say, what? What does that matter? What does that matter to us who sit in this room? God had a wrath and a judgment that would be passed down to all men who are not covered by his righteousness. And he needed a perfect sacrifice to purchase your sin debt and die in your stead, in your place. Well, Jesus did that. And if you accept what he did and you believe that he's the Son of God and put your trust and faith in that, then you would be saved. And then you would go to heaven. So you have to believe that Jesus, God, came to earth as a man, lived a perfect life, died on an old rugged cross for the sins that you've committed and all the ordinances that were against you. Not only did he die for your sins, but there were some ordinances that you couldn't fulfill either. Then they placed him in the ground for 3 days, and after 3 days he arose from the grave. And though that he arose from the grave, one day you will arise from that same grave or a grave or from where you die from if you believe in Jesus Christ. Because one day there will be a second coming of Christ. That is the gospel. I just shared the gospel with you in less than 3 minutes. Most believers have never shared the gospel with anybody. Stop sharing church. Stop sharing your opinion. Stop sharing your political affiliation and share the simple gospel. It saves lives. My testimony, August 28 of 04, I met Jesus. I'd been preached about, I'd heard about, I'd been told about, I'd heard everything I could about Jesus. And on August 28 of 04, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. I met Jesus and I repented and asked him to be the Lord of my life. I have never been the same man since. That is my testimony in under a minute. Most of us do not share our testimonies. The great thing about the gospel, somebody might argue with you about it. The great thing about your testimony, no one can argue with you about it. No one can, because it's your testimony of what happened to you. And if they were to say, I don't believe that, I don't care, you would say, that doesn't matter. That's what I had with Jesus. Please start sharing the gospel and or your testimony and or both. In 5 minutes, you could help somebody reach the kingdom of God. Amen? I stand before you today, and I'm going to preach a message about salvation, about what that looks like. And one other thing Jesus said is an absolute truth. He said in the Word, he said, narrow is the way to heaven. Narrow is the gate to heaven. And I'm going to give this next part to you because it's going to kind of baffle some of you. Few there be on the path. If you're looking for a huge amount of people going the same path you're going to God, you're going to be surprised. It's going to be few. But it's a wonderful path to go on. If I could stand here this morning and preach to you about several people, I could have got this message from about probably, let's see, 6 different places. The woman at the well. I can't preach at the woman on the well here at this church anymore, hardly, because I've preached it so many times. People would go, man, you preached that already. So I sneak it into every message I can. The woman at the well came to Jesus. She wasn't the worst woman. She wasn't. She wasn't the worst person in the community. She's just one of them women that are one of those people you look at and go, they keep getting it wrong. Anybody in here ever had to been that person that just kept getting it wrong? Maybe in relationships, maybe in jobs, maybe in decisions. You just kept getting it wrong. You ain't the worst. You just are easy to point out in a group like, hey, at least I've got my husband, and at least I've got my wife, and at least I've got my good job, and at least I didn't make so many bad decisions that you make us look better. You ever been there? Is there anybody in here maybe fits that build? You know what I love about Jesus? He just saved her. He did. He just saved her, and she had this water pot that she would bring to the well in midday because there was nobody else there. But the one day she did come on the hot day and didn't think nobody would be there. Jesus was there. And after he forgave her of her pretty bad life, she just ran down into town and told the whole town about Jesus. Amen? She just went down to town and said, there's a man up here that told me everything I needed to hear. Be careful who you get too close to Jesus. Amen? Some of y'all going to mess up and bring some people to Jesus. Some of y'all going to bring them to church, Bible study. And they going to get it. And they're going to run laps around you. And the only thing you're going to be able to do is get mad at them or aggravated with them, because guess what? You ain't got what they got. Woo. Could you see the woman at the well down there in town? There is a man. Ain't that a problem? She had a man problem before she went to the well. And she don't have no more man problem after. Not the worst. And there's this guy named Nicodemus. Hey, y'all better settle in. I'm going to preach everything I know this morning. I made up my mind before I left the house. They're going to love me or going to hate me today. I mean, I got Nicodemus. You ever met a Nicodemus? You know who he is? He's the guy that goes to church with you, but really ain't got it all figured out. Amen? You go to church with them for years and years and years, and there's nothing exciting about them. They're not on fire about Jesus. They're not on fire about the music. They're not on fire about serving. They're just there. But praise God, maybe one Saturday, one Friday, or one Sunday got too close to the message. I wish some of you would get too close to the message. You make great church people, but you don't know Jesus yet. Nicodemus looked amazing. He sat on every council. He sat on the high council. He was on a part of every religious thing. And one day he just sat there and goes, there's something about this Jesus. I've got to go see him. I wish some of y'all would get sick and tired of just coming to church and you would say, I've got to see this real Jesus. Nicodemus went down there in all of his religious garment in the middle of the night, knocked on the door, and Jesus opened, and Jesus answered. Nicodemus was never the same. I wonder how many people hated Nicodemus after he really fell in love with Jesus. I wonder how many people that were religious and said they loved God like he loved God, but then he fell in love with God for real, and all of a sudden now he's an outcast. I preach this because I just like to do it. I love when you think about the last scene that we see with Nicodemus is the day that him and Joseph of Arimathea had taken the body of Christ. Charlie, do you know what that means? Him and another man on the most religious weekend in history, as far as Jewish people go, is the Passover weekend. If he had touched the dead body, he is obsoleted. He is canceled from all religious duties because he touched a dead body. Nicodemus, God, wish y'all let me preach in here. Nicodemus took that body and put it in a grave and put it in a tomb and washed it and cleansed it and covered it. And I guarantee you, with all of his religiosity, he sat there and he said, my God, I've never felt more alive. I would rather have a dead Jesus than a dead cold religion any day. Sit there washing. I bet tears were flowing out of him. I bet in his soul he was happy for the first time. Some of y'all come in here and perform dead church. You're worried about the songs. You're worried about the building. You're worried about what people do or don't do. Why don't you just come in here and say, what does the King want? I'll come in here and get as low as anybody wants to go. Some of y'all, it would be great if you would come in here and fall on your face before God and just say, God, I'm here to do whatever you would want me to do. Man, it'd be good if some religious people would get saved. And they'd stop being good church members and they'd start being great Christians. Then there's that thief on the cross. He is the worst. And maybe there's a couple of you in here. You feel like the worst. Amen? Or you did at least. I'm the worst. Well, this guy really was. Amen? He's hanging there on the cross, and everybody's happy about it. We're getting rid of this thief. Thank goodness. This thief, this murderer, this liar. Is there any thieves and murderers and liars amongst us this morning? Everybody looks at you and goes, glad I'm not him. Glad I'm not her. Got too close to Jesus. Again. God, I hope before this day, I hope there's somebody randomly showed up here just by accident or happenstance, you thought, that God gets a hold of you. I see that thief on the cross. He's like, I don't stand a chance. And all of a sudden, got too close to the message. Got too close to the word. Be careful who you invite to church. Because you come to church. You're just coming for a show. You're just coming because this is what you do. You might invite somebody who it really gets a hold of. This thief kind of represents a friend too. You know what I'm saying? You look over there and he'll go, like, you're just as bad as I am. As a thief on the other side, he'll look at him and go, man, you men, you're no better than me. Be careful. That friend might get saved and run a lap around you. Hey, man, start doing some cool stuff with Jesus type thing. Some of y'all preach that message. Y'all hear the message about the thief on the cross and you say, well, he never really did anything. You're dead wrong. He made a defense for Christ on the cross. Some of y'all wouldn't defend Christ in public. He did it as he was dying on the cross. I love it. He says, that one thief says, get us down from here. You know what the other thief said? We belong up here. We've broken all the commandments, all the laws. We deserve the death. This man right here, he don't deserve any of this. Man, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I sit there and think, man, I wish I could just watch that. I would love to see that interaction. Two thieves arguing about Jesus who's hanging in the middle of them. How did God get here? Aren't you glad? I wish I had one worshiper. Hey, aren't you glad that God shows up in places that he don't belong? I mean, shows up when he shouldn't show up. I mean, just send somebody to prison. Send somebody to jail. Send somebody to the morgue. Send somebody to the funeral home. Send somebody to the hospital. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, God shows up and gives you a word. I've heard of people getting saved in every form and fashion. Amen? We're sitting here in church, can't find Jesus with a flashlight or search warrant. Amen? It's because we're not hungry or thirsty for him. We're thinking we're satisfying him. Some of y'all came in this building this morning thinking, I did God a favor by being here. You should have stayed at home. You should think of this. When you pull in this parking lot, you should say, I get to worship the King. I am able. There are people that are sitting at home right now would love to trade places with you. They would beg. I went to a nursing home one time. A little old lady pulled on my coat and she said, would you please just break me out of here and take me to church? Take me to my church. And we take it for granted. We take it for granted. A thief on the cross says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, this day. Y'all, I know y'all might get tired of me preaching this stuff, but do you know when that man died, his spirit was in the presence of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? All them might have felt like they belonged there, but they looked over and they just one sitting over there rocking. Golly, y'all are all right. Y'all okay. Y'all be cool about it. It's going to be you one day. You're going to be sitting there amongst some saints that you thought were awesome heroes in there, and they're looking at you. I'm saying, I can't believe in 2023 you put your faith and trust in Jesus when there wasn't even a message out there to do so. We live in a country today where wrong is right. And you still believe in Jesus? You still pack up and come to church? You still come in here and worship? Ain't that amazing? And I thought about these 10 lepers. The untouchables. Anybody ever been there? Man, stick around long enough. You can get there. Nobody want to touch you. Nobody want to have nothing to do with you. Oh, golly, I don't know. Wrong crowd, I guess. Let me tell you about a group of people then. There are a group of people out there, they can commit a sin that's so outrageous and is so egregious that nobody would want to touch them. Oh, let me make it personal. There is a sin that you can sin. Oh, not me, brother. I'd never. The way I experienced sin in my lifetime is there was nothing out of bounds. Amen? Sin will take you where you say you didn't want to go, right? There's a sin that you can commit that next week if you walked in this room, everybody would kind of move over and go, well, I don't want to be associated with them. Amen? Well, that's what these lepers did, what these 10 lepers were about. They had gotten so sick, they were outside the gate, and Jesus came walking into their town. Aren't you glad that Jesus shows up in the towns and the places that nobody else wants to show up at? And Jesus, before he said, hey, they called out to him, every one of them, hey, Jesus, we're sick. You're only as sick as your secrets are. Sorry, threw that in there for extra. Jesus said, go, every one of you, show yourself to the priest. And tell them I sent you. They all 10 took off running. Amen? All 10. One of them got too close to the message. Amen? One untouchable. They were all running, and one of them looked down and seen that he had been healed. And you know what he did? And all of them else were running to something that was dead and cold. He done a U-turn and started heading back. Some of y'all need to do a U-turn. Some of y'all need to repent. Some of y'all need to turn to Jesus. Some of y'all need to come back to the person that touched you and healed you. He ran back to Jesus, comes sliding back up, and he's like, hey, you touched me, you healed me. He started worshiping him. He goes, where? You know what? Only question God asked, only question Jesus asked, weren't there 10 of you? Amen. Be careful who you invite to church, be careful who you ask to come. Because if you're not careful, that person to your left and right can really get it, and you're just going to be mad at them because you know what? You won't love Jesus like they will. Some of y'all got just enough Jesus not to get the real thing. Some of you got just enough Jesus to be in control. Oh, I got that Jesus, man. He's good. Sunday 11, buddy, he's good. I got a Jesus who operates every facet of my life. Every breath I take. Can I give y'all something that God put on me not long ago? I was riding down the road. Maybe I was going to revival or something. And all of a sudden, this guy explained Yahweh. Y'all know what Yahweh is? That it's the name of God. But they have studied that name, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. They say that the pattern of a human being's breath automatically is saying Yahweh. Without even trying to say it. But wouldn't that make sense in the scripture where it says, to everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. What if at our just out of breath, even when we don't believe in God, we're sitting there going, because He is the God of every breath we take. We treat him like he's this small situational God when he is the God of all the universe. He spoke everything into creation. He is in control of everything. And we treat him like, I'll let you work here or I'll let you work there. But why don't we just say, God, I resign it all to you. Be careful who you send to church. There was this little girl named Ruth, a little Moabitess girl. Got down there and married the wrong guy. Started hearing about Jesus. Amen. And her mother-in-law was in love with Jesus, even though her feelings and her heart was hurt. And all of a sudden, she said, Naomi says, I'm going back home. I ain't got no future here. And I ain't got no future sons for you. And I've got no path for you. And that little Moabitess girl named Ruth said, I don't care. I ain't staying down here. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you die, I'll die. Wherever you live, I'll live. And whoever your God is going to be my God. And whoever your people is my people. Be careful. Is somebody going to get saved around you and it's going to embarrass you? Because guess what? They're going to be on love with Jesus and they're going to be on fire for God. And you're going to be sitting over there trying to throw cold water on them because you're going to still want to do the stuff that you've always been doing. And they're going to sit over here being on fire for God. And you're going to be like, will you calm down? Will you quieten down? Will you stop praying, praising, loving, walking, talking Jesus? They should look at you and go, you shouldn't have took me. I can't be a hypocrite. I can't do no halfway Jesus. I heard the message. I believed it. And that's where we're in. That's where we're at right now in the scriptures. I'm going to get to the message now. Some of y'all look scared. Don't be. It's a short message. I wanted y'all to get this. Look at 1 Samuel 17:57. Do y'all see that? Just right up above the page there. Should be. 1 Samuel 17:57, and David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Do y'all see that? See, what happens is God always shows himself God or strong and does an amazing work, and that's where David killed the giant. He was the anointed one, the next king of Israel. Jesus was the anointed one, the king of the world. Amen. And he defeated our biggest threat, which is our sin, right? He's still got other things he wants to destroy in your life, but ultimately he shows you that he can destroy your sin, so therefore you can let him work on everything else. Is that good? Y'all understanding? Are y'all tracking? Okay, but watch this. The only reason I threw this verse in is because it's got a really cool part, and I'm a guy, and I see things in a guy type of mindset, and I want to put stuff in there that makes me want to hang on to it. So David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Yeah. Any men in here? Stephen, are you sitting back here? I see you. Oh, I love me. Hey, Johnny, that's good right there, right? Come on, man. Tracy, we've been going to church for years, man. Sometimes they don't preach to us guys. They preach to the women, oh, I feel you, I love you, I touch you, all that, you know? I get that, but I'm not a woman. I'm a man, amen? And I like man stuff. David come back from the battle of the Philistines, and Abner said, the king wants to see you. Watch this right here. He goes, all right. He grabs Goliath's head. Dude, I know, Rebecca, it's a man thing. Keith's enjoying it. I mean, they steal stuff coming out the bottom. I know women, sorry. It's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. Walks off in the king's tent, sets that gourd head down on the floor. Hopefully, he puts his feet up on it. How can I help you? Amen. Who's your daddy? That's the first. Did y'all know that's what he asked? Amen? He wanted to know who his daddy was. Amen? Because he wanted to know who to make out the check and all the free taxes and the land to be forgiven. Because this man was special. Amen? But all he did was trust and believe in God. Be careful who you invite to church. They'll be cutting off the heads of giants that you wish would be cut off, but you won't allow them to be cut off because you won't trust in God. There's things that are running wild in your family, and God can absolutely destroy them, but you don't let them destroy them because some of you still like doing the things you say you don't like to do anymore. That's not what I came to preach about. Jump down into chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass. Are y'all seeing that? And it came to pass. Are y'all still listening? Two of you? Five of you? Good. And it came to pass when he made an end of the speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This is the person I want to talk about this morning. We covered some friends and some church members, and the person in the community is not so bad, and the worst person and the untouchable person. Let's talk about your family. Be careful. Somebody in your family might get really saved. One of your kids might really get saved. Your spouse might really get saved. And then what are you going to do then? Amen? What are you going to do then? Because guess what? That'll change everything. See, what happened is Jonathan was sitting there, and he knew his dad had an experience with God a while back, but he had got cold on God. Literally what it said is he had got too big for God to help. Amen? He said, when you first met me, Saul, you were small in your eyes, and I was big in your eyes. Some of y'all did that. There was a day where God was big and you was small. But time has went on, and all of a sudden he says, now you've gotten big and I've gotten small. If God's gotten small to you, you need to get on an old-fashioned altar or in a prayer closet and surrender who you are. Amen? Because you're misusing God and God ain't using you. Amen? I could have said that again. Somebody write that down and give it to me later. But watch this right here. He's got a son who was sitting in the tent. Golly, bum, we need a couple of sons sitting in some tents, sitting under the message, sitting under the Word of God. Me and my wife was sitting. This is pretty cool. Me and my wife was having dinner yesterday, and she looks up from the table and asks me a question. I went, what's the question? She said, how many people in our church, where they come to church, are mostly husband and wife? I'm like, took me 30 minutes. I'm sitting there just scratching my head, and little cogs and wheels are turning and gears are shifting. And I said, mostly all of them. Mostly all of them. Ain't that weird? Up here on this mountain in the middle of nowhere, that most of our churches, members and people that come on a regular basis are husband and wife. Whoa, that ain't going on everywhere else. What are we going to do with it? Amen. What are we going to do with it? What happens if them grandkids get saved? What if half that daughter gets saved? What if half that son gets saved, gets on fire for God, and he just ain't attending church? What happened? Let me give it to you. I just threw that in there for extra. Don't be mad at me. And if you are mad at me, give me a head start when we leave here this evening. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Oh no, what happened? Jonathan got saved and fell in love with the anointed one more than he was in love with his daddy, and even more important, that he's more in love than he was in love with himself. If you really fall in love with Jesus, you will fall out of love with self. Listen to what Jonathan did in verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, and even his sword, and to his own bow and his girdle. Watch what he did right here. He did this. He gave away what? He gave the robe. He gave his identity away. Some of you need to give your identity away. The first thing he did is he took off his robe, and some of you have got control over other people's identities, and you've already got them down. That's so-and-so, and that's who they are, and that's what they do. If you ever let them get saved, if they ever get too close to the message, all of a sudden their identity changed, and you won't know them. But God will. All of a sudden, can you see it? Jonathan starts taking off his robe. That robe said, I am the next king of Israel. You know what he was saying to David, the anointed one? You be king. Wouldn't it be good if you would take off your position and give it to Jesus and say, you be the Lord. You be the king of our lives. Amen? And then next thing you know, he took off, look at this right here. He took off the garments, his identity, his person, his daddy's identity. Some of y'all have got great plans for your kids. They're wonderful. Some of you mothers, you've got too many plans for your kids. You're keeping them in control. Some of you dads, you're living vicariously through your children. Amen? That's just like me. Be careful. Here's what Saul was thinking. My kingdom won't end when I die. My son will carry on my kingdom. I wonder if Saul was watching when that garment came off that said, when he took off that armor and said, no. I don't want my daddy's throne. I don't want my daddy's authority. I want your authority. I don't want to reign here on this earth. I want to reign with you in heaven. See, some of y'all are sitting here right now and it sounds good, but guess what? When that really hits in reality, it's going to be weird for you because some people will stop caring about what you care about and they'll stop caring about what you want them to care about and they'll say, I will do anything God wants. It's so quiet in here. And he gave him his sword and his bow. He hands him his sword and his bow. And you're saying, why would he do that? He was saying, God, I want you to be my protection. I want you to be my defense. I don't want to fight in my own strength. I want you to fight for me. I want you to take over all the control of who gets fought and who doesn't. Goodness gracious. What if you got things hung up in your head, in your mind, that you like, you don't like and you want to hate and you want your son or daughter to hate them, but then all of a sudden God saves them and makes them missionaries to that very place? Whew. That scared some of you just to death right there. What if God makes them missionaries? What if they don't have a great house and a great marriage and a great 5-year plan and they don't have all this stuff that you think is important? What if they're just relying on God from hand to mouth? I wish I had somebody in here. I wish I had one or two people in here say, man, I wish my son or daughter would lose everything they got to be living hand to mouth to God. They've got everything they want. That's the problem. I wish I had about 2 or 3 people in here say, my kids have got it all. That's the problem. They don't have to rely on Jesus. We taught them to be comfortable. We didn't tell them to be hungry for Christ. Some of y'all going to be mad at me today. I hope you get over it. Then he took off his girdle. The girdle back then held everything together. You know what he's saying, God? I've got this thing that holds it all together. But God, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to hold it all together. You know what it looks like when you get saved? Scott, come on. Y'all stand up. You know what it really looks like when you get saved? I know it's going to be scary. But here's what it looks like when you get saved. You give away your position. You give away your person, you give away your defense, and you ask Jesus to hold together and take charge of your whole life. You no longer want to be in control. You give it all to Jesus. You give him your identity, your strength, your power, and you say, God, I've tried to hold it all together. I've tried to do it my way. I give it all to you. I hate to tell you, some of you guys in this room, church is great. Jesus is better. And church will get really, really great if you'd really, really get a hold of Jesus. I wish some of y'all would come up here this morning and relinquish control. I wish some of you come up here and say, I want that real Jesus. Maybe some of y'all got too close to the message this morning and that radical Jesus has been turning over in your heart. I wish there would be some older Christians in here that God's got a little bit smaller and you've got a little bit bigger over time. Maybe your finances got better. Your home security's gotten better. Your lifestyle's better. So now you're in a place where God can be small. He can't be small for everybody in your family. Maybe there'd be some people in here would come and say, I'm going to rededicate my heart and service to the Lord. And I want my kids and my grandkids and these church folks to see that I love Jesus, not just being in control of something. As they sing, I don't know how God's dealt with you. I do not know. But I do know one thing. If we're not careful, eternity's going to creep up on some of you. And you're going to be in eternity like that, and you're going to be sitting there going, man, I wished I could go back to one Sunday service at Flat Top Church and surrender my soul to God. Come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's play a song as they play, and if you'll just step out and come. Just come. God will meet you at this altar. God will hear your heart. I know there's people that have been affected by this message. Come on. Don't worry about the person to your left or your right. Just come. Maybe there's one or two of you got too close to the message this morning, and you really want Jesus, not just a church event.